We thank you so much for all you do, whether you are a father, a grandfather, a neighbor, an uncle, a cousin, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, just a mentor. We appreciate everything that you do to lead and guide us in our spiritual path. And we thank you so much. You mean so much to us. And so we have just a small token of appreciation for our men today. You will find as you leave baskets at each exit that have one of these in there. And so we ask that you take one with you. We thank you. Some of you, I think, got one this morning. So if you have not picked one up, please do that at the end of the service. Just a small token for our guys this morning. Thank you so much. Also, because it is Father's Day, our baby bottles are due today. So if you took one of those home and filled it up, we thank you so much for participating in the Pregnancy Crisis Center outreach. If you did not bring those back today, you may drop those by the office. We will still be collecting them, but as you can see, we've already collected some today. So thank you so much for participating in that. Now, on Wednesday evening at 6:30, the choir will meet and prayer meeting will meet, so we look forward to seeing you folks here for that on Wednesday. Next Sunday evening, our youth have an event, but we're actually going to make it church-wide. We're going to meet here at the church at 5:15. The game begins at 7. We are going to see the Pulaski Riverheads play, and so we hope you'll mark that down. Just a great time to spend time with our kids and our families, and so that will be next Sunday evening, June the 26th, and Miss Barbara will send some information out about that. On Monday the 27th, big news, Bible school is now here, and so we look forward to seeing all of our kiddos. We still need a few volunteers, and so we, if you are willing to do that, if you'll please send Pastor Kevin a message, we would appreciate it. That will be June the 27th through July the 1st. Now, on Thursday evening of Bible school week, we have a great activity planned. It's a surprise, so we don't want to give you too much information, but we do need some youth who are willing to help out with that, and so please take note. Parents, help us out with that. We will send more information, but that is the week of Bible school. We are looking for volunteers. And so, with that being said, we welcome you again today. We have a message from Pastor Kevin. He and Miss Linda are out on vacation today, and so we miss them. Pray for their safe travel mercies as they return home. We are in for a special treat, though. Pastor Kevin's own pastor, Pastor Bill, is here, so we hope he's going to give us a little scoop on Pastor Kevin while he's here. But we will, as you can see, we need info. So we are so glad you're here. We welcome you, and we look forward to seeing what God has placed upon your heart. And so with that being said, Pastor Kevin did leave us a message. So again, we welcome you to the service.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. I welcome those of you who are with us by radio and those who are with us by our online media. Those visiting this morning, welcome. I'm officiating a wedding this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina. Leah Truitt and Dan Yu are getting married, or by this time they have been married. And so I just wanted to say good morning to you and introduce you to who will be bringing the message this morning. I want you to know I've left you in very good hands, as Reverend William Fryer, as he is known to many of us as Bill. Some of you have met him and have actually played golf with him last year. But he is my pastor, my mentor, my friend, my encourager, and just the person, with several others, but the pastor that led me to Jesus Christ. And so he's a special dear man in my life, as well as his wife Anne, who he would not be who he is certainly without her. But he'll be bringing you the message this morning. I hope you will have hearts and minds open to hear God through him and through the scriptures he brings this morning. He's been in ministry, I believe, for well over 40 years, and just a very, very dear man of God. And so with that, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you this morning. I thank you for Bill and Ann. I thank you of what he will bring this morning. I thank you for this congregation, and I thank you for this community of faith. And Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit, your anointing to be on them and on this place, and we just love you and we thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I miss you, and I look forward to being back with you next Sunday.
Thank you, Miss Patty. Would you stand with me, please? see a video from the Kids Week last week at Kids Camp.
Thank you.
Would you stand with me, please?
Walk by faith. by faith the Israelites were saved according to God's plan. By faith Deborah told Barak that peace would be restored. By faith Hannah prayed to God and the son was her reward. She walked by faith.
I could give the invitation, I tell you. That was fantastic. I said to someone earlier that I'd always been in the choir, even 40 years as a pastor. I sang in the choir before I preached. And now my voice is getting weak, and I guess I can't do that anymore. But boy, you guys are good. Y'all are blessed to have this choir. Go ahead and give them one more. Okay. You want to know how powerful God is? You want to know how really strong He is in our lives? Kevin is from inner city. My grandfather on my mom's side and my grandfather on my dad's side were farmers. My dad was a farmer. I was raised on a farm. Kevin is from the north. I'm from the south. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Kevin loves the New York Yankees. Oh, goodness. I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. And we're world champions. What am I saying? Yeah, there you go. That's how powerful God is. Because Kevin's my best friend. Isn't that something? God is a great God. He can give you grace even for relationships such as that. Well, we're going to look today at Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. This is a Father's Day sermon, but looking at my crowd today, I would say it's both Father's Day and Grandfather's Day, and there might even be some great-grandfathers here, but we all need to hear what God has to say in His Word. Ann and I have four children, three girls and one boy. He's the youngest. But he's 34, so he's not really young. And we have been blessed with eight grandchildren, and we have one more on the way that will be here, they say, around the 1st of January. And everyone has told me, that's it, okay? I have four wonderful in-laws, three son-in-laws, and a daughter-in-law who's a wonderful lady. Seems like I'd feel pretty good about myself as a daddy, but as most fathers, we would say, we make mistakes, and we've made mistakes through the years along the way. Beyond that, I think I've missed a lot of opportunities, and so the question comes to mind, if I had to do it all over again, if I had that opportunity to do it all again, what changes would you and I make in those relationships? Well, within a question such as this, so serious, we need to listen to what Father has to say. Father God has a word on this subject, and I found it in Mark 10, 13 to 16, and I guess I have control of this thing, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to read it here, but it's going to be behind me and in front of me and on your screen wherever you are. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Yeah. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. God blesses the reading and hearing of his word. And yes, I'm putting my Bible up, but I promise you, you will be able to see what we're doing here on the screen. I'm sorry, this is new for me, and so you're going to bear with me as we look at this. Verse 13, but the disciples rebuked them. Oh, those disciples! What can we say about these guys? I mean, just think about what they went through. What a remarkable skill they had in missing the Spirit of Jesus. They rarely seem to miss an opportunity just to not get it. Like the woman who wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and they wanted to keep her away. How about when Jesus said he was going to have a meal with Zacchaeus? And they thought it was the worst idea in the world. How about when they were amazed that Jesus would lower himself to speak into a woman at the well? And in the previous chapter, Jesus said to them, out of some level of frustration, "How long shall I put up with you?" Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that to your children, maybe, grandchildren? "How long shall I put up with you?" And that's exactly what Jesus said. And it's easy to ask, how could they be with Jesus continually, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, basically, for 3 years, seeing the things that he cared for and hearing his words and still so dismally misunderstanding him? Well, the answer is rather easy for me and maybe for you as well. All I have to do is look into the mirror, and I'll see someone else who sometimes puts worldly ideas and prejudices and weaknesses and still doesn't really understand who God is in Christ. The only filter I need to look through when I want to understand people, when I want to see children, when I want to see really anything, people of other races or nationalities or even religions, is that of the eyes of Jesus and his sacrificial love. Look at verse 14. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. If you want to know what things Jesus really cared about, look for the times in Scripture when he was indignant. That word, that Greek word is agonaktao. It means much grieved. And I'm sure some of you at times have felt that way, where you just do like this and you close your eyes and you just shake your head. How can people be that way? And that's what Jesus was doing in this point. He was indignant. It means to be angry at something or someone because they are unfair. Jesus was indignant. And he was indignant over the Pharisees' loveless indifference to people. You know, their callousness, their lack of sympathy, their judgmental attitude. But in this passage, his indignation was over his disciples' blindness to the value, to the worth of a child. So we need to get personal with this and ask ourselves, what do we see when we see a child in poverty? Do we see one that's undernourished and underloved and underprivileged and have this same lack of sympathy or callousness or judgmental attitude? When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. The King James Version says forbid. The Revised Standard stop. These all have a piece of what I see as Jesus' intention. But the best translation is hinder. For who of us, what Christian would forbid a child from coming to Jesus? Who of us would stop a child from coming to Jesus? I mean, I think I could ask us all to stand and put up our hand and say, I will not forbid a child from coming to Jesus. And all of us would agree with that. Amen? I didn't hear you. Amen? Yeah, I mean. But you see, a hindrance. Well, we can all see ourselves perhaps in that light. For you see, hindering can be unconscious. May come from simply neglecting to take some positive action in our homes, by our habits, by our relationships, by our attitude toward others, by our lack of spiritual climate in our families. Do you have family devotions? Are you hindering your children or grandchildren? Do you pray with your children, your grandchildren? By our lack of commitment to God's body, His church? How are you hindering your children or grandchildren? How are you hindering the children of this church by your attitudes and actions? Are you neglecting your children's spiritual needs by emphasizing maybe just their athletic needs? A lot of people now miss church on Sundays because they have to take their kids to some soccer game in South Carolina or something like that. You know, that wasn't like that when I was a kid. Church was church. They didn't have games on Wednesdays, okay, so that kids could go to church. But now we're magnifying out of proportion their sports and their academics and thus hindering them. And Jesus says, do not hinder them. And he said it with indignation, grieving that someone would do so. So, are there positive changes we can make? Think about your own life. I know very clearly there are things that I wish I'd done when my children were in my care and that I've committed to do with my grandchildren that I now relate to. Look within your heart. Perhaps you have time yet to influence their eternal future. So when was the last time they saw you on your knees praying for them? When was the last time they heard you pray for spiritual renewal in your life, spiritual growth, personally, confessing your humble need for God and for His grace? When was the last time? You may wonder and ask, well, what changes would I have made? Well, there's a number of things. And I prayed with our children. We were on our knees with them. And I would change that. I would want them to truly hear my heart. Secondly, I would read much more to them. I read a bit to them. But I wish I'd got time to explain my actions. Let them know my life. Let them know my heart. Let them know the real person, not just the father figure. Perhaps there are changes that you would make as well. The bottom line is I would let them into the center of my life. And I think these things would have aided not only their spiritual growth, but mine as well. We have one more verse to look at, verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child will not enter it at all. Jesus saying, like this child, like this child. Think about in this situation with Jesus and the disciples and the children. I can see one of them hearing Jesus' word just taking right off, you know, and running up to Jesus and jumping into his lap. Can you see that? Can you get a picture of it? Looking up into his smiling face with an anticipation of what Jesus might say to them. Friends, this morning, I think Jesus is still waiting with us. Not just that day that we accepted Christ as our Savior, but every day coming into his presence, jumping into his lap, maybe even hourly, with enthusiasm, with joy, with humility, and with expectancy. Perhaps this is a good day to do his love and his grace and know that at that moment you give yourself to him, that he gives himself to you as well. Perhaps you need to come again to Him. Let no one hinder you. Let no embarrassment of any kind. Just come on to Jesus. There's an old hymn. I love it so very much. I guess I love the old hymns because I'm old. Some of you look at me, no, you're young. You're only 72 years old. But I'm not as young as I used to be. But they used to sing a song pretty regularly in the church that I was raised in. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Won't you let Him come in? That's the invitation today. Come to Jesus again. Or perhaps you're here and you don't know about this Savior. Maybe you're watching on video or you're listening on radio and you've never just given yourself to Him. Listen, He's waiting for you. He was waiting for me at the end of a long road of sin when I finally came to the cross and understood that it was about me. The cross was about me. About the fact that the King of the universe died in my place that I might live for Him who died for me. I'm going to do something really strange right now, but it's been bothering me ever since I walked into this sanctuary. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just want to do it, okay? I think I can be heard as I walk, right? I don't think anything should ever be in front of the cross. These are beautiful flowers. They really are. Won't you come to the cross? Won't you come to Jesus today? Jump into His lap. Hear Him say, I love you. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank You for the great love that sent Your Son into this world to live for us and to share those wonderful words of life and then to go all the way to Calvary just for the likes of us. We thank You, Father, that Your power, the power of Your Holy Spirit, raised Him up on the third day, and we celebrate that so much. Lord, we thank You that we have the opportunity to ask You to come into our lives, to make Your abode with us, to truly be our Father. I pray You bless this time of invitation. You use it in Jesus' name, we ask. Amen.
Would you stand, please?
Teach me the vision.
Thank you for your kind attention this morning. I'm not going to say the usual benediction. Let me say just this. The word benediction means good word, benediction, good word. The best word for me today is grace. Grace is getting more than you deserve. God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. If you're here this morning and you just don't feel worthy of what God has done for you, you're not. You're not worthy. But He offers you His grace. He offers you His love. All you have to do is take it. And you might have been 20 or 30 years since you've done it, you know, really done it right. I don't know what your life is, but I know one thing. His grace is sufficient. And it is eternal and everlasting once you receive His grace today. Go with God. Amen.